In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I bet all of us have a few irrational fears. It's hard to imagine that we all don't have at least one. That one fear that seems to grip us instantly. No matter the circumstance or the occasion, introduce it into our environment, and either panic sets in, causing us to flee, or anxiety takes hold, causing us to be on heightened alert. Don't worry, I won't ask any of you to share what those fears are right now. But maybe some of you felt a little bit of it during our readings for this morning. In our Old Testament readings and our gospel reading, serpents play a central role. Now, I know one person who, if they are sitting in a pew today, will be crawling in their skin during those readings. That person is my mother. For as long as I can remember, she has always had a fear of snakes. When I was a kid, I liked to watch a lot of nature shows. You know the type. Lion prides on the savanna, whale pods in the ocean, and snakes in the jungle. Without fail, whenever a jungle or desert or sea snake or any kind of snake appeared on the screen, my mother was up on her feet and out of the room in a second flat. When we would take trips to the zoo, if you wanted to go into the reptile house, you better be ready to do it on your own because she was not going in with you. I think a fear of snakes is probably pretty common, and for some understandable reasons. They move unlike anything else in nature, slithering around. Many of them are dangerous to humans, armed with fangs and venom. Not to mention the symbol they carry in our scripture. From the first few pages of the Bible, snakes are cast as evil, cursed creatures made to crawl on their bellies, to eat dust, and be forever at odds with the children of humanity. There is a lot of menace packed into this one creature. In our Old Testament reading, we find the people wandering the wilderness. They are in search of the promised land, a home. Due to their sins, serpents have descended on them. These symbols of humanity's fall from grace, these culprits of humanity's expulsion from the garden are running, well, slithering, really, rampant among them. It must have been terrifying for God's people to be lost in the wilderness, and their sin brings this evil among them, causing great harm and terrible, terrible death. Because of it, they turn to God and repent. God responds to his people's plea. He hears their prayers. In what I find to be a remarkable commandment, God tells Moses to place a bronze serpent high on a pole for all to see. When in need and in danger from the threat of these serpents, from their sin, they can look up and be saved. Saved by God's grace and mercy. God takes this symbol of humanity's fall and sin and transforms it into a vessel of his forgiveness. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In many ways, I think we are like the Israelites, wandering in the wilderness. It feels like we as a people, a nation, as a planet, have lost our way. It seems we grow more and more suspicious of each other, grow more and more fearful of each other, grow more and more angry at each other. So many divisions, so many lines drawn in the sand. There are fewer and fewer places I can turn where I don't find someone or some organization trying to recruit my support, trying to shape my opinion, trying to pit me against my neighbor. It is as if there is a serpent among us, and each bite deepens our divisions and our divides. But our gospel tells us Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Just like the serpent, God has taken a symbol of sin and transformed it. God has taken the cross, something that once symbolized the worst in us, all of the anger and pain and depravity we can visit on one another. The cross was the symbol of humanity's abuse of power over itself, of the spectacle of violence we crave, of the suffering and death we can so easily deal out. It was evil. It was sin. Was, but is no longer. What once struck fear in people's hearts now brings hope. What once meant death now means eternal life. What once stood for evil and sin now stands as a bright beacon of God's love for us all. There are a lot of powers in our lives. Fear is one of them. Fear of snakes, fear of the unknown, fear of our neighbor, fear of our own sins, that they might make us somehow unworthy. There is another power, greater than all the rest, God's love. And the cross, which Jesus was raised on, speaks of its undeniable and eternal truth, that in God's love, we will find transformation. Transformation of this world, a power that can take any and all of our sins, and if we turn to God in repentance, they will be forgiven. Transformation of us, a power that can take us, we who are broken and divided, and make us whole, make us complete. When we look upon the cross, we look upon salvation. Salvation from any fear, any evil, any sin. We see what God's love can do for us and what God's love can do for this world. Amen.